Board of Equalization adjourned. We will step into the Board of Supervisors. It is 9:08. Call the meeting to order. Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation: Gronewald, Bauman, Adams, Fleece, Byers, and Barnard. Anderson will be absent all day. Consent agenda consists of the general agenda, approved minutes of meeting held January 27th, all claims through February 8th in the amount of $572,948. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve additions, withdrawals on securities accounting monies. Approve appointing Marlon Cleaver and Mark Mainz as authorized representatives for Gage County for the federally declared disaster 1864 and authorize chairman to sign.
I would move that we approve a consent agenda 1 through 6.
Second that.
Moved by Fleece, seconded by Gronewald. Discussion.
Matt. Just a discussion about a claim that come across for a conference that was down in, over in St. Louis. And I talked to Gus about this a little bit. There was a claim that showed up, and there were some receipts that weren't attached. And just a review of all elected officials that as those claims come in, make sure that there's receipts attached. Gus has a process that if they're not attached, the employee fills out an expenditure report, and then the way I recognize this, Gus, is that you would be vouching for that employee that was the expense that showed up, and so that's what this is here. I believe everybody had a copy of this in their box. There's actually a payment back from the employee who went down there for what was their part of the bill, so that came back too. It's a $9.74 check, so there's a process in place to look at that. We just wanted to bring that forward, and that there was some discussion about that because there weren't some receipts there. So that's in everybody's box if you want to review that.
Gary.
Yeah, I know Gus will take care of this, but we talked about this. I think about the first year I was on, we were getting some of this kind of stuff, and just so all county employees know, if they don't, we kind of said before, without receipts we weren't going to pay, but I know the guy's honest and all that, but just maybe all the department heads ought to remind all their employees if they're going to do that, they have to have some receipts. Because possibly at some time, I don't know how we'd pay him if we didn't know. That's all.
And just to add to that, it might be a time to revisit that policy, to look at a per diem amount. State has it. The feds have it. So if we have it $18 a day for in-state and you've got $30 out-of-state, if they want to Ruth Christ and spend $60 for a steak, so be it, but they're not going to get it from us. They're going to get $30 for the whole day. So I think we need to probably revisit that.
And I had a discussion with the clerk to contact the other elected officials. Just everybody needs to sit down and make sure everybody's playing by the same rules, reach a consensus, make sure there's some method in the way that we pick this out. And I don't know if we should have this discussion now. I don't want to hold Gus up all day. We could wait till the end and have about committee reports. But there was also a request to increase a petty cash fund. And I think that it begs conversation because one of the issues we run into is overages, the finance charges on these credit cards in order for these expenditures to be made. And so there's a request to increase the petty cash fund for the expenditures through the sheriff's office. And it doesn't necessarily mean we're going to dump more money into it from a budget standpoint. Is that we'll take that amount and allocate it differently versus the claim won't have to come into the county. They could write those directly from a checking account. And there's benefits to that because the vendors that need to get paid immediately. We don't ring it up on a credit card, and then we have to wait for our approval cycle of every 2 weeks for it to come here. We approve it. We accrue some finance charges. I know that this has come up in years past. Looking ahead to 2012, Gus sent me an email. The credit cards are no longer going to put the county on them. They're going to have to be issued to direct people. And I think that that's something we want to absolutely avoid. So we're going to have to look at how we're going to continue to operate and do business as a county. When people go to conferences, send me an email, bounce around if you got some ideas, maybe prepaid debit cards, and then we check out so many to an employee when they go. They bring their receipts back, and we balance them that way. But we're going to have to get creative of how we do these things because not everybody's going to wait for the billing cycle to where we can repay them and not hit us with a finance charge. And finance charges, even personally, that's just a waste of money. You get nothing for it. So think about that, some of those things that are out there. The one thing I think is important to recognize is that through the use of petty cash, it's very trackable. If you were to audit that, there's a trail. I went to the clerk's office. They keep detailed records of how that takes place. I know Gus brought Julie here if she wants to talk a little bit about that, but there's a mechanism in place, because the first thing that came to my mind is, how are we going to track that dollar when it goes to a petty cash fund? And I wish there was another word we could use, but, you know, we'll play the semantics game here, but petty cash, I have a problem. Petty and cash should never be used in the same sentence, but everybody knows what that is. So we're probably going to have to get a little creative about how we continue to operate in the future, stay away from the finance charges, allow departments to operate efficiently. And there is a tracking mechanism, so that's the good thing. It's not like someone's going to put some money in their pocket and run off with it. So we have a way to track that. So that conversation will be coming up again.
Just something quick. Actually, and Gus, Julie's probably aware of this, but if you go on the state auditor's site, there's a special section for sheriff's departments on how you kind of do a lot of your auditing. And I'm sure you've already all tuned into that, but I read through that the other day, and it was quite interesting, all the things you actually are supposed to do. So,
any more questions on the consent agenda? Vote. 6-0 in favor. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items? Podium, name and address for the record.
Morning. Do you want these real quick? Or a couple of these, I should say. I apologize, I wasn't real for sure how you guys' procedure worked. It seemed to be a little bit different. I stopped and talked to Michelle a week or two ago. You were after lunch.
Okay.
My name is Mark Hedrick. I actually represent two companies, Federal Employee Benefits and also United Teacher Associates. First off, I'll tell you here today that what I want to ask or talk to you about is it actually doesn't cost the county any funds whatsoever. We put a product together back in the early 90s for federal employees across the U.S. through a need that nobody actually was addressing in those days, and we developed a product for them that no one has ever seen before. Earlier last year, we were granted permission to start making this plan available to virtually everybody. And since that happened, we've been spanning across the U.S., making it available to county employees and state employees across the country. We finished Saline County a couple weeks ago. We're doing Fillmore. We're doing Jefferson right now. I mean, it's hit about half the counties in Nebraska so far. There's about half left in this state to see it. I personally live in Nebraska. I oversee this whole operation nationwide, so even though I'm from here, I'm seldom here, but I do live in Nebraska. Back in the early 90s, the federal people came to us with a concern that they had the product that you all have a chance to have to this day that some of your employees in the county may already have. And those are products that are called GAP, or treatment insurance plans. If any of you are from the insurance background, you're probably familiar with what I'm talking about. The largest company nationwide that markets a GAP or treatment plan is the one you see on TV every day, the White Duck. There's about 30 carriers that market the virtually the same product. Back in those days of the early 90s, we were asked if we could change or increase the value of what everybody was going through in those days. We actually did a survey of 50,000 victims, and they were asked, at the point you had that problem, what would you have changed? They all came back with two common things. We wanted a lot more money. We wanted a lot quicker. It's probably a pretty mute point, but it's probably safe to say that everybody sitting here knows someone in their life that's gone through something catastrophic, like cancer or heart attack, something serious of that nature. If you understand how the GAP and treatment programs work throughout the U.S., if you have a problem, you have a GAP or treatment product, first thing has to happen is you have to receive treatment. That is the first thing. Once that's done, you have to supply claim forms. The process goes on and on. 2 to 3 months later, you'll start seeing funds come into you. The idea behind the GAP plans and treatment plans are to give you additional funds to offset what health insurance doesn't cover. Well, you may or may not know today that right now, for every $10 you spend fighting those serious problems, it's proven that 7 of the $10 are actually non-medical bills. The lion's share today is the junk that goes on outside of the medical treatment. Loss of income, if you're married, 2 incomes, mortgages, car payments, all that stuff it takes to fund your life. And I know in the little town close to where I live in central Nebraska, we got 7 fundraisers going on right now. Common as heck, because people don't have the funds when this stuff hits them. There's been companies that market the GAP and treatment plans for the last 26 years, and there's actually 30 of them across the U.S. When we created something different for the federal market, when we were asked to change what was already being done out there, we put together something called a first diagnosed lump sum. and nobody's ever seen one of these before. What it is, rather than wait to have treatments and all this things you have to do to start seeing any funds come in, with this product, all that has to happen is you are diagnosed. You get it happened to you. You submit diagnosis, and in a matter of days, you get a tax-free check for as high as $50,000. I used to call it living life insurance in the old days. It's money paid you up front just because it happened to you. And yet, even though the numbers are so nasty today, it does affect one in three people, one out of two men. It's worse for the guys and the gals. And one out of two will have a heart issue by 65. But still, people think they're invincible. Yeah, it happened to my dad or my neighbor, but it ain't going to happen to me. Well, we have a feature we also put on here called ROP, which stands for return of premium. We hope you don't need it either. You don't need it. You don't use it. Every dollar you ever paid in premiums refunded back to you 100% every penny. So in essence, you kind of got your cake, you need it too. Long story short, since we opened this up last year about April, May, in that time frame, it's kind of going across the country being offered all the county employees, the state employees. It's something that we do at a no cost to the county whatsoever. We actually took it out of payroll, out of the federal market, 2 years into it. If you understand how payroll systems work in the federal market, you're only allowed two deductions or two allotments on your paycheck. Most of the federal employees already had those capped. They wanted the program, they couldn't take it out anyway because they had no allotments left in their paychecks. So we made it a private pay structure. And since that happened, everybody has liked it because it takes all the administrative duties away from them. They don't have to mess with it, no fuss, no muss. So we come in and offer it under a private pay structure. We do presentations to staff of the courthouse. We do them to the sheriffs. We do them to the road crews. We give them a total detailed packet to look at and review. And then we come back a couple days later, and if they care and want to enroll, they do. If they don't, they don't. There's no minimums, no maximums. It has been something that they've never seen before, so it generally gets a lot of interest going. But we see across, it's varied. Counties, we see employees enroll anywhere from 15, 20% to 80 to 90%. Kind of depends on the people that are there. But it's their choice. Our big concern now is because it got released last year is to make it available and to expose everybody. We have not had a county anywhere in all the states we've dealt with thus far that haven't had a minimum of a 15% enrollment factor. But it varies, and some go way above that. Depends on the county. So, but to the county itself, it doesn't cost you a dime. It's just making sure that the employees are made aware of it, it's available to them, and if they want to take part, they do. If they don't, they don't. And that's how it works. It's very simple. We know of other companies that have done things under a presentation status, and they say there's no fuss or muss, there's no cost to the county, but then you're stuck doing the administrative of it. You don't do any administration with this whatsoever because it's not ran through payroll. Okay. Anyway, that's kind of the nickel tour of it. I don't know. Again, I wasn't familiar with how Gage County actually set up. My understanding is from what I've just read while I was sitting here is you actually will look and review this and make a decision on it at your next meeting. Is that how you do that? Or
if we choose to.
Okay.
Mr. Byers.
It would be my suggestion, Mr. Hedrick, that you make an appointment with the insurance committee and sit down and talk to them. They then will come back to if they need an additional presentation from you to the board on the details. They can do that. And Mr. Barnard is the chairman of that committee, and you can work with him relative to that.
Okay.
Doing a presentation without that is probably not appropriate.
Okay. Okay. Very good.
Thank you.
Very good.
Any other public comment? Marlin Highway Superintendent report.
Good morning.
Morning.
Marlin, how are you?
Thank you, Marlin.
Morning. You haven't called me this time.
Yeah.
Don't call me.
Oh.
I'm not financed.
You're not going to be home? Oh, you're not financed. I called Matt. And
my office hours don't start until 9 a.m.
No. Oh my.
Thanks to the rock.
Now let's start with zoning. Next meeting, we'll have that hearing on the rock quarry coming up. I think it's scheduled at 10 o'clock. Then going down the highway, we also have bids on rock and gravel that morning and the 1 and 6 year plan, so it'll be a kind of busy morning. So then you already did the consent one, which was that was a November storm, 18th 16th and 18th through the 18th of November. They haven't declared this Christmas storm a national disaster yet. I don't know where that's at. I'm not hearing anything. Maybe they had a lot of snow in Washington. Maybe they'll decide it's a problem now. Then we got to approve or disapprove a supplemental proposal with Midwest Right-of-Way for services with for BNSF property, and that's in Wymore. It's the only track we got left. Seems to be a hard one to get a hold of, and you got a copy of that in your packet.
Do we take action on that right now? I would move that we approve the supplemental proposal with Midwest Right-of-Way Services for Beatrice Norton Southern whatever property for project number BR-32655 Indian Creek and Wymore.
Second.
Moved by Flea, seconded by Barner. Discussion.
Rex. Is this that one that's been, when was this one started, this project? This is that antique?
This just is, east of Wymore in Wymore City.
I think it's 97, you know.
Okay.
They like the
we had that agreement with them to start with, yeah.
Yeah.
That's, I thought it was.
In the right of way, we assumed that they started that and we took it over, is that correct?
No, there was an interlocal done with the city, and then we accomplished the right of way. The city reimburses us for the expenses. There's a whole formula for
yeah.
that. So
that's all.
Matt.
So the cost on this page here is about $3,180. That's the reimbursable from the city. Is that 100% reimbursable, or how do we get that?
I'll have to look at the contract or the interlocal, make sure. But normally we just, like for the right-of-way, I just send them a bill and they send it back.
Okay. So this will be out and then it'll come back.
Right.
This was a result of the Department of Roads audit of everything, showing that this had to be done before they would proceed with it. So you're going to be obligated to pay it. Somebody is going to be obligated to pay it. We assume and trust that it'll be one more, you know.
Any more discussion on that?
We haven't voted on that.
Okay. Vote. 6-0 in favor.
Moving on with projects, I've got a copy of an email I got from Larry Dix in there about the stimulus too. It's behind the Midwest right-of-way agreement. The House has passed it. The Senate has not passed it yet, but they're looking for projects that are going to be ready to go in either 90 days or 6 months. I felt we had two of them, so I applied for two of them. I informed the chairman of the board, but back behind that, you'll see where I applied for them. That was all by email. They wanted it real quick. So I put the Beatrice North project in there for the within 90 days, and then the Adams Northwest, which was one on Apple Road up there. So just to bring you up to date on that. Then I got a list of all the projects that we added to the 1 and 6 year plan. One of them was moved from the 6 year plan. That was that bridge at North 12 Paddock. Then there's about 5-6 new projects there that we added on this year. The last two were the ones in Hanover that we haven't got the studies done on for sizing yet. And that'll be coming up at the next meeting as 1 and 6. I do have a copy of it in my along if anybody wants to look at it.
Does requesting this through the stimulus package maybe provide some roadblocks in getting that one done the way we were going to do it?
It shouldn't.
80-20?
It shouldn't because the
stimulus.
Well,
I know it shouldn't.
Yeah.
You know how you get involved with a federal project like this, and you get all kinds of...
They're federal anyway.
...you have to do that you haven't done or weren't expected to do right now. I mean, I just... I raise a little bit of a red flag, I guess, when you start saying or when they start saying we're going to have a project in 60 to 90 days, sure, we got a project, but will they approve it that 60 to 90 days?
Uh-huh.
Or will it be something we have to do in 60 to 90 days, and then it goes on and on and on?
Kind of like our bonus in South.
But, yeah.
But the thing is, they're not building any other projects until they get them out of the way. So,
I mean, it, enough said. I just...
Have we seen any of the first-round money?
Well, they've let bids on that in Barnes South. I mean, we got a contract for construction this summer.
Well, was that stimulus money?
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah, and them are 100% funded. They're not a 80-20 match.
When do you think the Philly North Bridge will get started, maybe?
Well, you know, we got everything in there on, we done the comp estimates on the right-of-way, sent it into the state. They've never responded because they're working on stimulus projects. So it's sitting up there. They said it looked good, but I've never got a letter. Until we get a letter saying we can acquire property, we won't do it.
And that's a relatively new...
Yeah.
Proposal for that. I mean, 3 years, 4 years old is all?
I don't know. Philly's probably been on there a little
east.
While.
Yeah, east.
Yeah. I was trying to remember when
right
we looked at it.
North out of Philly. That's yeah. been on there quite a while.
What else, Marlon?
You can kind of see what we've been busy doing. We did start doing some crack sealing. Otherwise, we're doing a lot of snow removal. We're hauling a lot of rock. We got approximately 400 ton of rock in a stockpile already, and plus we put a lot of rock on the roads. So, in this last snowstorm, we made the when we removed the snow, we did it slowly and put it on the side so we wouldn't be blowing our new rock off in the ditch. So, most of the guys did real well at that. So, did have one truck that. Run into the end of the asphalt road down by Wymore. So far we've been lucky. We haven't been any frames on any trucks, but it did wrap the plow up under the truck, and we had to do a couple days worth of welding and straightening, so we got them all back going in case we get another storm. So. And I think that's about all I have.
Anything else for Marlon, then? Thank you.
You bet.
Approve or disapprove recommendation of special designated liquor license for Brockon Dance Directive, LLC, Homestead National Monument, on February 11th.
Make a motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Barnard. Discussion. Any discussion? Randy, I questioned this being put back on the agenda where it was unanimously voted down. What is the procedure for putting something back on?
Have you talked to Rick about that? I mean, have you raised this issue?
Yeah, he was.
Who put it back on?
I did. Oh. Yeah. Contacted me, the owner contacted me about it. And then Gus, yes, she's there.
Rick kind of talked to me like a lawyer, so I'm not going to say I understood it all.
What was the motion? What was the motion? Disapprove?
To approve.
So you had a vote to disapprove? Is that
unanimous disapprove.
Unanimous
two
disapproval.
2 weeks ago.
It wasn't tabled.
It was not tabled.
Is this a new application?
She's filled out a new one.
Completely different than 2 weeks ago. Yeah,
if it's a new application, you can't take it back. You're not reconsidering the old one. You've made it a new application, so you can take it up.
Yes, you may. Name and address for the record.
Shelley Fritz. Personal address is 108 South 200th Street, Elkhorn, Nebraska. First of all, I have a question for yourselves. I would like to know what the purpose is of my personal appearance here, because I was requested to be here. I was told that without my personal presentation here, I would not receive approval of the liquor license.
And is this going to be on the Department of Interior property?
Excuse me?
Is this what you're planning? Will that be on Department of Interior land, property?
I really have no idea. It's at the Homestead National Monument.
Yes.
Okay.
Have they given you any opinion as to their support or opposition to this?
Their support.
This is actually
a function with NET Television. It's a party for 50 people. I actually have a liquor license at the Delray Ballroom in Lincoln. I was asked a special favor. Annette's Catering of Weeping Water is catering this. They asked to have a bar. I think we'll probably serve maybe 2 glasses of wine per person based on this function. And she asked a special favor if I would do the liquor license, and she does not have one.
I spoke with the administrator out there at the Homestead, and I asked his opinion. He told me that he's not for or against this. This is it's an independent entity that's renting a facility. It's after hours. It's a small group of people. I also visited with Gus a little bit since I saw this come back on the agenda. Now the process has been followed. And as far as I'm concerned, when someone comes and submits a license or a permit, what I like to see is that person and or their representative come here so that we can ask these questions. So that would be the purpose of having somebody here. Granted, it's a short period of time, but that way we can answer if there's any questions that we have. So this is not affiliated with the Park Service. This isn't affiliated with the Homestead at all. This is an independent entity that comes after hours and is going to be renting a facility there. That's the information I received.
Right.
Gary.
But the superintendent told you it was there. Apparently it's fine with them because they're having it. Whether they're for or against it, it's okay that they're doing that on their land.
Right. And I don't want to speak for him, but I think he just wanted to clearly say this isn't
the same thing.
It's not the function of the Homestead. It's an independent entity. He's not for or against it. They're renting the space. It's their deal.
But the Department of Interior apparently thinks it's all right.
So I just thought I'd share that because when I saw that comeback, I called.
And also, last time we did not have this, which it's our understanding the sheriff informed you of what you needed, and you did not submit it to the sheriff.
That's actually one reason I'd like to actually speak, because I think what would be, I'm just going to make a recommendation because I'm an outside party. Does it make sense that somebody like myself will not know your procedures? We're outside of your county, for one thing. Even in Lancaster County, I really don't know their procedures. The only way I find out is if they will inform me of them. I was never informed of anything that I needed, personally. Upon being requested to have this, the form you need is from the State Liquor Commission. So I got the form from the State Liquor Commission. I asked them what I needed to do, and they told me that, and they were erroneous. They actually told me that I needed to submit this to the City of Beatrice.
Yeah.
I sent this to the City of Beatrice. They received it on January 11th, and they were very kind. They realized it went to the wrong place. They actually forwarded on to the county clerk because it was in your jurisdiction, and they were kind enough to give me a phone call and let me know that's what they had done. The next thing I found out was that the bartender on the liquor license form, myself, has to be listed as the licensee, and also the person who will be responsible the day of is listed, which is a John Schuler, who is a bartender for me. He would be the person serving that night, so he would be responsible. The only way I found out that there was an issue was that somebody from Homestead called the person at NET, who then called Annette's Catering, who then called me and said, "Hey, Shelley, I hear there's going to be a problem with your liquor license." And I was like, "I haven't heard anything." So I made some phone calls around, and I did speak with somebody. I actually have two names, Don and a Michelle, here at the county clerk. And they told me that there might be some issues with the sheriff's office, which is the first I even heard that that's where it needed to go. I had no information that the sheriff's office would need it until that time. This conversation was actually occurring on the 21st of January. I actually spoke, and actually the person's concern at a county clerk was something about the sheriff's office, and he had a concern about it being possible with federal problems. So I called out to the Homestead. They didn't know of any problems that there would be. I called back to the State Liquor Commission, didn't know any problems that there would be. I had actually asked the person, the county clerk, if there was something that the sheriff needed, please let me know. I'd be happy to take care of it. I did not receive a phone call back from them. The next thing I knew was that it had been, the 28th went by, and it had been denied. I didn't know why. I assumed that there must have been a problem. Oh, I'm sorry, because actually the sheriff's office did call the bartender. There's two phone numbers listed on the... I couldn't understand why they kept calling the bartender and not me, since I was the licensee. I look on the form, and I can possibly see, because the only phone numbers listed are next to the person who's responsible, which is John Schuler. However, the phone number listed that is to be called prior to the event is actually my business number. At no time was that business phone number ever called. The phone number that was called was the phone number that says day of event, which is the bartender's personal cell phone number. He actually received it because he's originally from around these parts. He said, well, somebody from the sheriff's office recognized my name and gave me a call to let me know that there was a problem. Otherwise, I would never have found out.
Your information you're giving us isn't quite what we had, but...
Okay.
Any questions for the applicant?
I just have Gus weigh in as well.
Okay.
I want to hear from
Gus?
Well... Like I explained to her, this is the first time this ever had an issue, because most of you that appear in person, to her defense, she's not local. The board, obviously the state does not require anymore, they stopped a while back, to have local law enforcement be advised of any licenses going on in their jurisdiction. The board, my understanding, still wants to do that, and so that's on the agenda for later, getting a protocol set up for that. Dawn had called, or one of the girls had called from the office asking about it, and I said, I know nothing about that. We normally stop by the office on this request. They mentioned Mr. Schuler's name on her, who happened to know his parents real well. So I called him and let him know that this is a protocol they have to follow for us, is they have to have a letter from us to go with the liquor license. And that's kind of where this all stemmed from. The reason she was not contacted, I never had her number or name. This was just a conversation I had with the clerk across on the phone. So we got that problem worked out. The letter's attached. I talked to the, as well, talked to Mark Engler. Like Matt says, it's simply they're running the space. He's not for or against. That's just something they require, being a federal ground. And so from what I saw, it was fine by me. I don't see any problems with it. Hopefully in the future, if the board gets something set up for a protocol on what they can do or need to do for applications,
I would just like to say, though, Shelley, I did speak to you prior to the meeting. I spoke to you about talking to the sheriff and that you would need to contact him. I told you that was out of consideration for you, that you might want to do these things. I gave you fair warning. I told you all about that.
So yes, and I did.
Please don't indicate that you did not know about it, because you did.
Yes, but I am saying that maybe there are some better policies that you guys can set in force, because I did call the sheriff's office. And my hours are quite different than yours. I'm a ballroom dancer, so my hours are 1 to 10. A lot of times I'm getting these phone calls from your businesses late in the afternoon, usually between 1 and 5. By that time, I'm on the dance floor teaching. I don't usually get my messages until 10 o'clock at night when I'm finally done teaching. Usually by that time, it's after your hours. I did call. I left a very detailed message. I tend to ramble on my messages. I never received a phone call back from the sheriff's office. Once it was denied, I did call and ask, what do I need to do? They said that they never received a phone message from me.
Okay, any
so
more
I
discussion
understand.
Relative to this issue?
I'm going to vote no.
Okay.
Where liquor, as I always have in the past. I just don't think that, I think people can get along without beer or
motion,
wine.
Okay, the motion is to approve. Vote. Against. Groenewald, Adams, Fleece. In favor, Byers, I'm sorry, and Byers, against. In favor is Bauman and Barnard, and Anderson is absent. Thank you. Approve or disapprove bids for third floor?
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt your day, but Jackie with the State Liquor Commission indicated that the only way that this was possibly going to go through is if I can walk all of these papers personally to her today.
We voted it down. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. You just said... I'm sorry. A minute ago, before I got up and stood up, everybody unanimously approved it. And now it's been turned down?
I'm not following you on...
Unanimously approved it last meeting, or disapproved it last
unanimously
meeting.
Disapproved it. Disapproved it.
Last meeting.
Yeah. Last meeting, and this one was just voted down 2-4.
The motion was to approve the liquor license, and there's only two people here voted to approve it. There were four that voted against approving it, so that means that the motion failed.
Okay.
To approve it. But follow that?
The Liquor Commission can still approve it whether we do or not, right, Randy? They do all the time.
I believe they have the authority.
Yeah.
So if you go up there, maybe you'll have a hearing with them or however that works. I used to know how that all worked a long time ago, but...
They can approve it without your approval?
Sure. They can do that even if the city denies it.
They do it all the time, the city and everything else.
Thank you.
They have the final say whether it's approved or disapproved.
Then may I have all of my... I will need all of my original paperwork plus the checks.
After it's all filed appropriately, you can get it, yes. Because we'll have to have... records of it also.
Gus, do you want to take this over and have Michelle?
It won't take long. I mean, we just got to do our end of it.
Okay. Thank you.
Have Michelle type another
approve
letter.
Or disapprove bid for third floor covering for Jim's Carpet in the amount of $5,295.97.
Move to approve.
Moved by Barnard.
Second.
Seconded by Fleece. Discussion. Ron?
Since we're getting close to everything being done up there on third floor, we asked the Dave Jones to get us some quotes from carpet people within the city of Beatrice or wherever for this, and he came back with two quotes, three that he asked. One was Jim's Carpet for $5,295.97, and the other one was Fletcher's for the amount of $6,000. Both of them are in the strength or whatever you call it, the 28-pound category. They're both nylon carpet. Everything was apples to apples, basically. So ours, our recommendation that we would approve Jim Carpet's for the not only the carpet, but there is some linoleum, I believe, in this also, Dave. Yeah, in this thing here, too. So,
Matt?
This is not a change order. This is this will be paid out of inheritance, yeah. Correct?
Yep. Gary?
Ron, is all the carpet going to be the same throughout the whole building in all the offices? Same color?
We're planning that way, yeah, because we're trying to make
uniform.
Color scheme pretty much the same, but be very neutral on it so we don't have some purples or greens or whatever.
Pink,
yeah.
So. Okay. Any more discussion on the carpeting?
I feel like I'm on somebody's stomach.
Yeah. That's vote. Shirley? All in favor? 6-0 in favor. Approve or disapprove change order number 2 on security system as follows. Add 1 door controller, 1 door position switch, 1 4-port PO switch, add wire pull, server training programming, separate system, electric door strike, price to include installation, in the amount of $1,589.
This is all for the...
Need a motion.
Oh, I would move to approve change order number 2 on security system.
Moved by Fleece.
Second.
Seconded by Gronewald. Ron?
This is all for door number 314, if I'm not mistaken. Which is on the third floor, which is the door.
Is that a mechanical room? No?
It is. Well, unless you call the county attorney's office a mechanical room.
Our office. Yeah. Your office.
Yeah, it's a door to their office. It's not a door to individual offices within that. It's the door to the office.
The outside door?
The main door.
The main door.
Okay.
Which is these things described in the motion are a little bit more secure type of things. The only people that would have access would be
my office,
yeah,
basically.
Would be that. Now, if something would happen during 12 o'clock at night that we needed to get into that room because of something, whether it might be a fire or whatever the case would be, David or anybody would not have the key or whatever you want to call it to get into that office. They would have to call the county attorney's office. They would have to send somebody down that would be authorized to open up that door. Where the rest of the doors in the courthouse basically are all Dave or Mark Mites could any time go in there, which would show that they went in there for a certain period of time or whatever the case would be. So this is a little bit different than the other doors we have in the courthouse that were where the security is on. So just so you're aware of it.
Randy, you want to address that or something we've thrown it out there?
Well, frankly, I'm a little confused as to why this is a change order, simply because that requirement was set out, and we talked with a number of the entities involved, you know, from the very get-go as far as the security system is concerned. I have mixed feelings about creating this, other than wiring up it up to be able to change that if you move the county attorney's office or something else so that you can put it into your security system. I had requested just a separate pad entry. That would probably cost significantly less. The idea is simply this, that there is intel that comes from various offices, law enforcement offices, that comes to the county attorney's office, that just simply needs to be maintained securely and separately from other offices. It's appropriate to do this, it just maintains that security and appropriate law enforcement, both chain of custody and just to security of information that's in that office. To tell you the truth, the keypad could do it for a lot less, but we certainly need that separate security system.
How does our custodian handle your custodial that needs in, Randy?
Well, that'll be during the day, essentially.
So they'll be cleaning when your people are at work then?
Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah, that's fine with us.
Matt?
So you recommend... recommendation, or your if we didn't do this, you wouldn't be heartbroken over it. It's probably something that we could add on later.
Well, what we would do is we would create a keypad entry for that door instead. So instead of having this separate software and system for that office, we simply would have a keypad that we could program.
And, do you believe this was in the specs?
No.
But the request was made.
I don't know.
But you know, that may not have been that may not have been translated well enough or something.
May not have been.
You requested it though.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I remember you asking.
Yeah. And essentially, I think that it depends on how you want to maintain the security of the building. But this is not going to compromise the security of the building, because you'll still have the wiring up to the doors to be able to just add this into your own security system later on if you decide that, you know, you want the veterans office and where the county attorney's office is, and you move somebody else around. You can do that without a problem, I don't think. I mean, Ron can speak to that.
So is this the main door going in your office or just your personal office?
No, main door going into the office. This has nothing to do with my personal office. This is the main front door to secure the office. The other two doors can be simply secured with deadbolts.
This isn't the pod, then.
Pod.
Yeah. Wim, you want to address any?
I mean, and I would tell you that Wim's efforts here. I mean, he's not doing anything wrong. They're addressing the issue based on some kind of a system that would meld in with what's currently in the rest of the building. I don't have any problems with the system at all. But,
yeah, and everything Randy has said is all true. The original request was for a keypad lock that would be placed on the main office door. The reason that we decided to go ahead and get pricing on adding this door in and integrating it more towards what you have in the rest of the building. It enables, this provides the equipment, which then enables you to, as Randy said, if the office ever moves to a different location with this equipment installed, it would be simply switching a series of wires from one system, the county attorney's system, to the whole building system. And all of your equipment would be installed in order for that to happen. If we went with the keypad rather than this equipment, then we would have to come back and add equipment to that door to integrate it back into the building, the main security system for the building at that time. As far as the software or anything like that goes, the additional software that's required for this is being provided at no cost to the attorney's computers so that they can monitor the system that they have. In a way, and I don't want to speak for you, Randy, but in a way, as I would rather have the software and the hardware in place so that I had a that would give me a much better way of monitoring, if there ever was a concern, what actually happened within the attorney's office as the attorneys would see fit. For instance, if something came up missing or there was a question of who was in the office at a certain period of time during a certain case or whatever, it would be easily gone back to with through the attorney's computer system. They could monitor and go back and have some kind of record. With a keypad that we initially were going to put on there, it wasn't going to be connected to anything, and it would just be a matter of you wouldn't have a record of how that was used.
Gary?
But along with that, so if Randy ever said, look, I think somebody got in my office, our security camera up there is still going to be in our main system in the hallway, so we'd be able to double-check if there's ever a problem. Wouldn't that be true?
That would be true. The only thing would be going back. You wouldn't have a specific time to go back to.
You mean the camera in the hallway won't have a specific time?
Oh, it would have a specific time.
So we'd actually.
But you wouldn't have the ability to go back and look at something and say, okay, there was entrance gained at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Not by the door.
By the door,
system,
exactly.
But by the camera system,
right?
We would still know the same thing.
That is correct.
The information's the same, just in a different way.
True.
And Randy'd have his information in our security system at Abbott's.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Any more discussion? Let your hand come up, sorry. Vote. In favor, Groenewald, Fleece, Byers, and Barnard, against Bauman and Adams. Approve or disapprove change order number 18 for the following. Add one new hollow metal door and hollow metal frame and two storeroom locks to the ground floor. Add four new storeroom locks to first floor. Add five new storeroom locks to the third floor. Installation of the above listed door frame and hardware sets. Remove and reinstall one side casing on 11 doors for routing of security system lock mechanism wiring. Painting of new hollow metal door and frame. Need a motion to
approve? Motion to approve change order number 18.
Moved by Fleece. Seconded by Byers. Ron?
Looks like we're adding more doors that we didn't think we'd go to have to start with, basically, at time. I let Wim.
Actually, this is directly related to the security system. As we discussed a couple weeks ago, the when the contract was let for the security system, it was decided that at the time of collecting bids for that, it was decided that we didn't have adequate information as to the existing door locks in the building. We proceeded on so as to expedite the contract letting with the knowledge that once a contractor was selected, that an evaluation of the existing door locks in the building and how they would integrate with into the new security system would be done. That after we hired CSI, we went through the building and with the CSI and the hardware contractor to identify locks within the building existing that needed to be changed in order to work with the new security system latching. And this is a list of those items. The hollow metal door and frame in question here is down in Dave's old office on ground level, which would be on the far east side of ground level. The door that's in position right there now does not have the ability to accept the lock that is going to be required, and it also the frame there, so we're going to change, we're proposing to change that door out and have it repainted.
Okay, well, I'm on, you know, I'm starting to get touchy on seeing all the remove and reinstall the casings on the routing. This was not figured in previously.
This was negotiated with Cheevers. In order to install the door electric door strikes throughout the building on existing doors, for instance, this door frame here, there's wiring that needs to be in place inside that door jamb. And we talked to both CSI and Cheevers about who was going to open those door jams up and provide access for that wiring to come in. Cheevers came back with the lowest price on to do that, and this is
this in the initial bid though, or are these totally?
No, this is a separate entity because CSI determined that they really didn't, they weren't in the door trim business, in the carpentry business.
I would have to see that again. I thought that was in the bid of.
No, we talked about it last meeting or the meeting before.
Yeah, that was.
You guys all said then it wasn't.
Yeah, that was never a part of the original one.
Gary?
I guess my question is, when we've talked about this, I know that I'm sure it was the last meeting or the meeting before, we've touched on this, and it was brought to my attention at that time that we didn't figure that in. I went back and looked, and you were right. It really, some of that wasn't at the time when we really talked about that original bid with CSI. But now they've had how much time to go back and see what we're going to need, and now just how many more times are they not going to be able to count how many more doors we're going to do? Because this just keeps coming back.
This,
they can't go through it one more, couldn't have went through it one more time and found out, figured it out? There's only so many openings in the building. How many, are they going to come back again after they find a few more doors, Wim, or
no.
When's this stop?
Now.
Got that, yeah, now. You're...
You know what I'm talking about,
yeah.
Ron.
I mean, it gets to be frustrated at times. But, again, look at all the doors and where they go, and maybe someday you got two doors over here. Maybe the county clerk wants some stuff over here in those two doors, you know, because of sensitivity. So we have to go and do that. I mean, I'm not so sure it's ever ending somewhat, you know, whether you put a one on that door that's to the outside. We got a lot of doors in this place, you know. First we were talking 57 was a number. You know, we didn't talk anything about his doors and his room and, you know, all this stuff. And it's just, but we're still below the 200,000 though.
I know.
So, you know, it's frustrating for the building and grounds, and we spent 2 hours and 15 minutes discussing the stuff the other day, and we have a lot of questions. Wims was on the hot seat for a while there. And
Matt?
So since this is related to the CSI, the security system, just from a point of where it's coming from, this is inheritance also.
Okay. It's a part, it will be part of Cheever's contract, but those items would come out of, we'd be paid out of inheritance.
So this is I don't mean to be picking seeds, but this is, since it's a CSI project that Cheevers is doing the work for, it's an addition, not a change. Does it fall under them just getting paid $4,900, or is there a percentage change on top of that?
No, it involves them getting just paid.
Not a change. This is just an addition. Okay, correct. I just said change order. So.
Well, you're not getting. Are you getting paid on this one then as a change order?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they all are.
We just said that Cheever wasn't, didn't you?
No. Yeah, well, I don't think
you're getting paid. Is Cheever getting paid 10% on this?
Yeah.
I would imagine so.
Yeah. And you, and Bergman, your architects, will too.
I don't know how Jerry's billing this. As in our last staff meeting, I think we've closed out the official security system job number.
So how will we identify this if this comes up as an additional charge if you decide to go with your 10%?
It'll be on Cheever's contract, which is 10% of any additional change order. That's the way I look at those things.
But this is an additional work. We're not changing an existing.
No, but it's a change order. It's an order that they will do in addition to their already existing contract.
It's not changing. It's an addition, aren't those?
But they'll get the additional dollars. I'm picking seeds out of the percentage of change order because it's not a change. They're getting additional monies because they're doing additional work, which is appropriate. You'd be paid for that, but it's not really a change.
No, it's
so
not.
The percentage shouldn't kick in. Just the amount of money to do the job.
They're all that way in a sense. They're just called that. Terminology. It's a lot like the petty cash deal.
Yeah. We'll wrestle over semantics. Okay. Yeah.
Any more discussion on change order number 18? Vote. In favor, Groenewald, Bauman, Fleece, Byers, against Adams and Barnard. Approve or disapprove declaring vehicles as surplus. Gus, you want to address this?
Morning. This stemmed from, I don't know, a meeting or two ago, I think, the chairman had asked about some the vehicles and surplus, and there were some I knew were sitting around from years past that we had given one to the assessor's office, and we have one or two in impound down in Weimar at our facility there. So he requested a list, which I think the board had at the last meeting, I believe. And there are, I think there were like four, I believe, weren't there, Rex? They were listed
five,
on there.
Five, but four to get rid of, one to the assessor.
Yeah. We have one or two in there. Randy's working on through his office on how we'll go about getting some titles that are left there. Either we cannot track owners, and by law we can get it, or they just don't want it, and they tell us to keep it. So we just added that to the list. I don't have the current list with me, but we have, I think we have one 2003 Dodge Durango. That was the one, I believe.
The assessor's office had asked about replacing the 2001 they had from us. It's been sitting over in the east parking lot for many, many months. It apparently does not run anymore. We had a 79 Dodge Maxi Van. That's one. We don't know if it runs. It's been there for I don't know how long that we're going to try to get a title to and get rid of that one. 94 Eagle Vision was through a case we worked. The owner says they do not want it anymore, so we're going to hopefully get a title of that and sell that as well. Of course, 2001 Dodge Durango we talked about. 2001 Ford Crown Victoria, that's one of our old ones we took out of surplus. That's sitting down at the Weimar impound. Has been there for quite some time. And then the 2003 Dodge Durango I touched base with a little bit ago on the assessor's office would like to have that one. So that's kind of the rundown, five of them. Some run, some don't. There's no guarantee on any of it, but I think that get things cleaned up pretty well for us and at least get a couple of spots over in the parking lot freed up.
I'd like to see a motion to remove those, what was it, four of them, and then the fifth one transfer to the assessor.
Move to approve.
Moved by Barnard.
Second.
Seconded by Fleece. Discussion.
Rex, what's the organization that takes, if you give them a car?
Sista.
Well, they'll take it,
Sista,
and then they auction it off. It's a charity.
Salvation Army.
Is there any way that we could do some of that with
the police? We actually auction them off at our Christmas auction every year.
But
somebody
donates
a car.
They encourage people to donate a car.
But can we do that?
We're going to get peanuts donated,
but I wonder if we can do that, though. Can we? It's public money. I think we've had that discussion in the past.
I don't know.
Probably not.
I don't know if we've discussed.
Not saying with you, but I know in the past.
Yeah, I have to.
It's public money. I don't think we can donate it.
I don't either.
We have to.
Matt, I can tell you there is a company that we're currently using. We're working through that right now since we've done and coded, barcoded our evidence, that they'll come and take everything like that, and they'll do it. They got to it and then sell it, and then whatever comes back from it comes back to us. I mean, that's something we're kind of looking at right now. Of course, the board have to sign off because I'm sure that's a contract or a MOU or something we have to sign with, and we're looking into that currently, so with any kind of property.
I just was thinking if there's someone that just wants to come take your burden, here, just take it. And then if it benefits a charity or they can get some money off it, it's out of our hands.
It's a good thought, but I don't believe we can do it.
All right.
I think we need to, Gary, identify the method to get rid of them.
I'll amend my motion or add to my motion in that we advertise them.
Do you want to do Purple Wave? Marlin had success with those.
I would suggest that we do the Purple Wave. We've done it before. So the motion would be to put them up for sale on the Purple Wave. Of course, the highest bidder.
Right.
Does that do it, Rex?
Ron, you agree to that on your second?
Okay.
Yeah, that'll work fine. And Gus can work with Marlon. Julie's head and put those on. Any more discussion? Vote. Favor, 6-0. Approve or disapprove transferring vehicle from sheriff's office to assessor's office?
I would so move that we transfer that vehicle to the assessor's office.
Second it.
Moved by Barnard, second by Gronewald. Discussion. The discussion I have is, I guess we need to make sure that those items are removed off our insurance rolls, get with the clerk, and same way as the assessor, make sure it's on the...
As soon as they're sold.
As soon as the cars are identified, which ones. Any more discussion? Vote. 6-0. Approve or disapprove procedure for obtaining board recommendations on special designated liquor license... Don, you want to touch on that?
Well, we just decided that maybe it would be appropriate to put everything in writing. We know the procedures, but we thought we'd have it in writing so we can pass it out. So, like, we can email it or fax it. So we wrote it all down.
Save a lot of confusion.
Did you check with the city to see what their procedure are, just so we're kind of consistent?
No, we went by what Gus checked us over and got the statutes.
I think we need to work with Randy and Gus and have them identify a procedure that we want to do 2 weeks on it.
I'd recommend that.
So
just so you got something. I'm sure the city has something, too, that if somebody comes in for a liquor license, this is what you have to do. And they should be very, I would think.
I don't believe the city has it. I think they allow the state to.
No. Yeah. They have hearings.
They have a very specific
do
procedure. Yeah. They have a hearing.
They get overturned quite often. But.
Yeah. But they have a hearing on whatever the case would be. And, at least we're consistent with another political subdivision on what procedures are.
I think we address it in 2 weeks. We allow Randy and Gus to bring it back and the body comfortable with that. You can get with the attorney at a later date, yes.
Can I have your card, please?
Don't have one with me, actually.
I was on my first vacation on Friday when I got this phone call.
Get real rowdy and you can meet him later.
I had to come back from my vacation.
Well, that's it's the price of doing business. So.
With less than one business.
Ma'am, I know you're upset, but
I'm very
but you had your chance when they talked to you in the past, so it's done, it's gone, it's over.
You should give me my cell phone, give me a holler.
Okay. Okay, committee reports.
Oh, I ain't coming back to my seminar. I do that.
Oh, okay.
Ron?
I'll give you the one. Shirley can back me up on the road and bridge. David was gone. Basically, everything we talked about is pretty well already been discussed with Marlon on what we talked about earlier. He did warn us that we probably would be receiving another large bill from Weaving Water this next week on rock that they're hauling from various sources. looks like what was about 380 ton, I think is what he was talking about, or about 15 loads. So
that's what we got in the stockpile, yeah. And we hauled a whole bunch on the roads.
Yeah, so it's a bunch of them. There is some being stockpiled. He did also bring to the committee the possibility of getting an intern from Southeast Community College, work part-time. It's going to be out here
to do
doing
what?
Some intern work for, I think, 6 weeks. Is that about what those are?
4 hours a week for,
yeah. Yeah, something like that. But
free of charge.
And we felt if they had some pressing things that needed to be done, getting in the computer or something like that, you could probably get somebody with this, some experience in that, and helping them out a little bit as far as their school is concerned. For I suppose $8 an hour or something like that, for about 9 weeks. So we kind of indicated to them that if there is such a situation that they could use them, not just to have somebody sitting around, but somebody that could be used and make valuable at that point in time, that you go ahead and get somebody like that. Yeah.
We vote on that next meeting.
Well, it'll be up to him to
jet plane.
See if he can work it into his budget, I guess. Yeah.
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 And we got a lot of piles, the bridge piles. We got 325 state-sized bridges. That piles are old and hard to find. And one of my ideas on this position was to help get that all rearranged and in order. They're right now are in three different locations because of office filing space. We'll combine them in one filing cabinet. It'll take about four drawers, I think, and then plus all the federal files that have to have all the different, like the right-of-way, like the agreements, the environmental documents, all have to be kept separate. So that would be one thing she could work on.
Dennis?
Question, we established a database on this, Marla, that we put this into our computer, and so we have that, and then it can be updated, or we can back it up, so we...
Anytime they audit your files, they want to look at a file. They don't want to look at a computer. They want to look at these documents.
But how do you make...
You're sure that's
files?
A current policy? Because the governor has been moving and the Department of Roads has been moving away as far as they can away from paper.
High-speed scanner.
I was going to say, Denny's on the right track there. You're updating your file. You can still have your paper file, but it's all right. Electronically available.
Absolutely. Yeah. If we have an intern, we have somebody who's capable of doing that. This
Bring
would be a time when we would establish that.
Yeah.
Rather than having it in two or three or four different locations, we could have one location and we could have database on everything else and back it up.
Gary?
Warren, you have that in your computers anyway yet, right? So you do have it backed up?
Some of the documents are in the computer that
not
I keep
all
in
of
each,
them.
But not all the...
So you're going to try to get them all on the computer?
That would be something we could start scanning in. It's.
But your intent wasn't all. Not to. It was to do it that way, right?
Right. I guess we haven't heard that part, because when the feds say they're going to come and audit, they want to look at files with all that stuff in it. I don't know where
that... How many of these are federal? Most of them fall under the federal guidelines?
Just the federal aid projects are the ones that we need all the different files in it. The bridge files have requirements when they audit. Feds come down and audit them once in a while. That's your inspections, anything that happens with that bridge is... Supposed to be in there.
And so if it's federal, they still want paper files.
Right.
I'd recommend that you get a written communication. You have some written communication, Marlon, with both the feds and the state relative to that issue, and make the request. Ask them how that we can handle this, and are they okay with it? Let's get some written communication and share it with this board, please.
And if they have any funding available to modernize your system. Gary?
Secretary of State has grants available. Most of them get a $5,000 to $10,000, up to $25,000, or did have, to do things for public information and stuff like this. Marlon could apply for that anytime, I think.
Okay.
Secretary of State has, I think, us online. You could even make an application and get money to do that.
Okay. Any other committee reports? Shirley?
I went to RC&D. I told them we were interested in the household hazardous waste program. So we'll go along with that this summer whenever it becomes available with the ROLOS. But the chemical school waste chemical program, that fell through. Until this fall, they'll apply again. They thought, sure, they were going to get it. And I think they had like 32 or 33 schools. That the last two, actually, Emerald and one of the other schools, applied for it, too. So they have all these schools now that have all their chemical and waste ready, and they didn't get the grant for it. But they think it'll come this fall. So hopefully Beatrice and them will all be able to get rid of their chemical waste this fall. But they were surprised that didn't go through this spring, but their school lab chemical waste didn't get accepted. And that they'll meet again in February the 18th, and I'll give Gary the address. And then in March they're meeting in Peru, and in April they'll be meeting in Lincoln. So they're going several different places. So we'll see how he does, and if he can't, then I'll go for him, however it works out.
Any other committee reports?
I'll give just a couple of things on building and grounds that wasn't already covered. We did meet with Radigan's again about what the Friends of the County Courthouse would do with their funding and what the county would do with the remodeling of the courthouse. And I think it's pretty much a consensus, Davis, Dennis, if I'm wrong, tell me, that we would take care of remodeling sets of ceilings, walls, windows, that kind of stuff. But anything that would be called fixtures, such as benches, railings, all that, would be a Friends of the Courthouse. So we wanted to...
Does that encompass that wainscot when they're talking that oak wainscot? Could that not be thrown into the Friends of the Courthouse? I know where you're coming from, but technically, the proposal they showed was oak wainscot in the district court.
For what?
To be included in the Friends of the Courthouse funding instead of a wall that we're responsible for.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I think the last that I understood, that was to be included in that figure for.
Yeah. Okay, okay. Continue. Gary?
At what cost, Ron? What's that add to the county's cost? Above what the bid was.
That hasn't.
They don't know.
Well,
that.
We've already done some of that.
Yeah.
The $46,000 that we've already approved.
Right.
Does the ceilings and the fixtures and lights that come.
Right. Out. But you don't know how much more this will be above.
No, most of the stuff that we're already doing is pretty well. It's what's good. They're going to do after we get the walls done, the ceiling done, the fixtures done, or what they're going to be required or pay for to make sure that there's not any disagreement, like flooring, carpet, you know, benches, so that everybody knows where we're coming from on that stuff. There's something special they want that they're going to have to.
So actually what you'd call fixtures in the courtroom will be Friends of the Court.
Yeah. And that's pretty well their understanding also, that as far as, because they need, when they're going to their fundraising, they need a pretty good idea of what the cost is going to be through the Friends, so they can have some kind of a dollar amount that they can go to them and say, this is what we're going to need.
Wayne wanted to inject something there.
In response to Gary's question,
there are a couple of items that are still outstanding that we haven't determined any pricing on. In fact, we're still working on a design for the actual county court bench area. As you know, the bench exists. It was here in the building. However, we need to construct on to the right and the left of the bench a court reporter's area, which I have drawings that I'm getting close to being done with that basically mimic the design of the bench, so it would continue around on that 45 degree angle. So we will have the bench area to complete as part of the county's obligation. And then it was decided also that the two corbels up on the ceiling in the northwest corner of the courtroom where the structural work was done years ago, those were removed, and it was decided that those probably would fall into the county's responsibility as far as replacing. Otherwise, Ron's correct. We've covered everything to date. The rest of the work, you committed to do some work to the district courtroom already. The rest of the work will be involved in this second floor remodel package.
And the bench area will look like it did when it was originally built?
Yeah. As far as we can tell.
Wow.
There isn't a whole lot of real detailed records, but as far as we can tell, yes. Yes. I just wanted to add that in there so it wasn't left out. Thank
you. Also, we spent a considerable amount of time. We had some cost estimates for the entire second floor and also the county courtroom. Ask all if you want to submit what your thought the price might be on that. Nobody took any lottery on that. We had about six items that we had some very serious, five or six items that we had some serious questions about their estimates on. And also we had some concerns about, there were three items amounted to about $25,000, I think it was, that would be carpeting, painting, and let's see, the third one was blinds, wooden blinds in the courthouse. And we thought that that would be something that we would not have in the work of the second floor, that those could be all done locally. The blinds, I think, is a firm over in Philly that does that. Painting, and depending upon, we may not have our staff or whoever do the painting involved with the county court room because of how high it is, but it was when it comes for the painting for all the rooms that could be done probably with some of the sheriff's staff and that he sent over once in a while. But so those are some things we talked about. The so they're going to be come back. Quinn will come back in 2 weeks on some of those issues. And basically, the cost, the way it looks right now, could be anywhere from $30 to $32 a square foot to remodel all of the second floor, the courthouse, and all the offices up there, which when you think that's not too bad, square foot.
Actually, it's not.
But you got to remember, there's 9,000 square feet.
That's the hitch.
So, anyway, they will have more discussion on that. I suppose, Dennis, what did we spend an hour and 15 minutes really going through that stuff? And there's just some...
You spent longer than that because I left at 11:15 and you were still at it.
Yeah, well...
He always underestimates.
Yeah.
You got
but anyway,
time on that.
It's interesting. And I went back and looked at the cost estimates that was made back on February 19th of 2009 for the second floor remodeling. That would included the county courtroom and the offices, and it was a little bit over $400,000. That was an estimate over a year ago for that, basically what we're looking at trying to do right now.
So, and that would come from where? Where would we get that
where
money?
Where do you think so? Yeah.
Inheritance. Yeah. Any other committee reports? Matt?
Emergency management, we met. I had to go back and look. The first Tuesday of the month, Mark gave us an update on what he was doing. He had talked about needing some additional storage space, and he was out trying to get some bids on what it would cost to enclose an area, but they were coming back a lot higher, so he's kind of backed off on that. He might look at doing something for a budget year next year, but that's not there. We also talked about the considerable amount of time he spent regarding that November 16th, 17th storm, and that was a FEMA declaration. And he just, quite frankly, worked his tails off with a lot of the townships, and we're going to get a copy of the, probably in the next couple of weeks, because Mark wanted to get the final designation of what the townships got. And I'll just throw this out there. There were some townships that walked away from turning anything in, apparently. Now, the exact, and I talked about walking away, I'm talking about walking away from money. So how that fills out, Mark's going to get the specifics, so we'll have that information. It's not to hammer anybody, it's just to see that there were some potentially there were some dollars left on the table. So in the next couple of weeks, we'll share that with Road and Bridge and get the board all that information. Visited with Dr. Rice recently, and again, progressing towards looking at those ambulance contracts. We'll give notice, working with Rick at the county attorney's office also. So kind of chugging along slowly, keeping everything tightened up. And then the other thing we talked about in finance, we bounced around, I think very briefly, and I've talked to Don about this too, updating our website, making that more user-friendly. Dawn's got an email she got back from MIPS, and I don't know if you want to send that to everybody, because I don't want to send it to everybody. You can send it to everybody. But in doing that, go through and look at the different counties' websites that are on there. It's kind of boilerplate, but there's some familiarity to that that might be beneficial. There are a lot of more information on there than what ours has. The initial cost is about $450, and then it's $40 a month maintenance fee. So there's some benefits, I think, to updating that, making that more user-friendly, making more information out there. So people that there'd be almost like a virtual courthouse where they could go there and they could find information that wouldn't have to come here. The option is still there, but if someone wants to see something at home and print it out themselves, they can do that. So the initial cost is probably $1,500 for the first year, and then after that it would, you know, be a maintenance fee. So we talked about that. And then also, sorry, Gary's waving at me, but just real quick, I just talked to Randy briefly. I would make a motion that we go into executive session to discuss a claim that we all received related to legal fees related to the Helen Wilson case.
Okay.
I think we need to discuss
that's
that.
That's a motion?
That's a motion.
You have a second.
I'll second it, but I wanted to add something for a personnel issue that we became aware of in EMS. A claim.
Probably should be careful because that's an injury claim.
Can't we talk about that, Randy, in executive session?
I'm not aware of what you're talking about.
Yeah. We get.
We can do it next time then.
Yeah. Well,
it's up to you, man.
We can talk about, since that's related to personnel, can we also talk about that? Well, I guess I got one
potential
motion.
Potential litigation.
Okay.
Which an injury would be also.
There was an injury.
Yeah, so
we need to talk. That's a good point. We need to talk about that, but I just, it's since.
Okay,
what kind of an injury?
Sheriff's Department.
An injury in the at the Sheriff's Department?
I guess it'd be an injury if you have a medical claim, isn't it?
Dermal claim, yeah.
All right.
Okay, motion in a second to go into executive session.
Second.
You already did.
I did?
Doing it again. Yeah, you said you did.
Oh. Okay.
Discussion, vote. 6-0 to go in executive session. Thank you. There will be no action taken when we come out.
Don, you can apply for one of those grants, too, from the Secretary of State if you want to update your website. I think he'll let you use it for that. You'll find them on, even the form online, I think. It used to be.
Motion to come out.
No.
So moved. Motion to come out of executive session by Bauman, seconded by Gronewald. Discussion, vote. 6-0. Any more business for the Board of Supervisors?
Nine.
Anything good for the order of the Board of Supervisors? Meeting adjourned.
See you in March.
11:10.